I had a conversation earlier this week concerning flying. Now, when we were talking about it, I made a statement concerning the staff of those who fly the plane and who work on the plane, and I used the term stewardess. Now, my wife immediately corrected me and said, no, flight attendant. Now, the first thing that went through my mind is, well, what does it matter? What's the big deal? I stopped there immediately. As the time came on, there was more conversation going on about it, but it hit me on that is a form of political correctness. Now, listening to some people today, you can see their eyes roll when they hear that term. And even when some read the title of this, they're probably not going to listen to it because of the title, political correctness. We've allowed topics to eliminate our due diligence as Christians to check it out and see where we're supposed to be in it. So the first thing I had to do with this topic is how do I deal with it as a Christian? Because remember, everything I do and you do has to be done in as responsible to God. So the definition of political correctness is a term used to describe language, policies, or measures that are intended to avoid offense or disadvantage to members of particular groups in society. And what that did in different ways describe is what a Christian is supposed to do. In other words, what it showed is that a Christian was politically correct or was supposed to be politically correct before political correctness was a thing. Now, I asked you, hang with me throughout this entire study, because, like with anything, I always say, check me. And we got to check me because you're making sure what I'm giving you is in sound doctrine. But when I really looked into this, I saw how disturbing it was that not only are we ignoring this, but that we're pushing it away, because in turn, we're actually doing damage. The reason why we're doing damage is we keep allowing our desired positions to get in the way of our Christian responsibility. As I said, when I said the term stewardess, and my wife corrected me with flight attendant, not me getting into the history and where it came from and all that, immediately the how I see it or what I want almost interfered in the how I'm affecting others. You see, the opposite of political correctness, which is what I want or how I see it, can never be the basis for anything I do, and I must take others into consideration above me. Where's that at? Philippians 2, verse 3. It starts off saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So that's the first thing. So how I see it and what I want can never be, and I do mean never ever be, the basis for any decision that I make, anything that I do. It can never be the basis. But it adds even another element to this. It says, but in humility. Now, when you hear humility, it's the removal of me. It's me going to God and getting the full description of what I'm responsible for doing. So in humility, do what? Consider others better than yourself. So how does that look? So it means if I say or do anything that offends somebody, what I don't do is get mad at them because I really didn't mean it. They need to get over it. They need to lighten up. And because I didn't mean anything by it, and because I wasn't having a will intent, then they need to work it out because that makes it all about me. I want them to adjust to me. No. What this is saying is, if I say or do anything that offends somebody else, then I must be careful and do everything I can to either talk to them about it, work it out so they see what I was really coming from, or never say or do that thing again. This is what the word tells me. You see, a major part of a Christian's responsibility is our peaceful, considerate, humble response to others. That's what's lacking in many Christians today. It's just not there. See, it says in Titus 3, verse 2, to slander no one. Remember, slander is when I say something about somebody with mean intent. In other words, it could be the truth or it could be a lie, but my purpose is to harm them. But it goes on to say to be peaceable and considerate and to show true humility towards, watch this, all men. Now, unfortunately, I see Christians pick and choose who they're going to have this towards, and they have it towards some and not towards others. It's called favoritism. That's a huge sin to God. This true humility towards all men, this peaceable and considerate, means I'm always considering others in everything that I say and do. Do you understand this? And it is unfortunate that many Christians today are presenting themselves more as arrogant and entitled and not at all considerate and humble. We've gotten this pride about us that we want the world to accept us and give us our rights, while we as Christians could care less about our rights. We're here to minister. That's what we're supposed to do. See, what we don't realize is when we get into this battle and this fight of our rights and we offend, when we offend, we can be the cause for others not receiving Christ, believe it or not. It shows in Proverbs 18, verse 19, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of the citadel. Now, what does this mean? What it means is once I offend somebody, they tighten up. They won't bend. So even if what I want to say to them or what I want to respond to them, I've already stopped them from receiving it. And I see this today because we have a lot of these groups that are calling themselves Christians that are saying stuff, I mean, brutal stuff about other groups. And then they try to minister to them. Why would they listen to you? You've already offended them. Do you understand that? I can't say something bad or disrespectful about another group and then come around saying, I love you. Christians are responsible for making sure we are not the cause of someone else's stumbling. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So every little thing we're doing here is to shine and to magnify God. We want others to see God in everything we say and everything we do. Do you understand that? Then he says in verse 32, do not cause anyone to stumble. That's a command. Do not cause anyone to stumble. So then I have to make sure I'm standing firm and watching not to make you stumble. It's not me saying, oh, well, you're responsible for you. No, no, no. As a Christian, I'm responsible for others based on me. He says, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking, watch this, my own good. And he's talking about my own personal good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. The outcome of my life down here is for others to come to God. Hopefully you're getting this. The outcome is for them to come to God. So if my rights and my feelings and all this stuff gets in the way, and then when I go to minister to them, they are tightening up, that's my fault. I'm going to have to answer to God for that. Now, I want you to keep in mind, if they are offended or stumbled by us offering Christ in the way Christ says so, please not your version of Christ, the way the Bible says, there's nothing we can do. In other words, that's not our fault. If I'm truly doing what the Bible says and they're offended, I got to keep doing what the Bible says. That's what he meant in Matthew 11:6 when he says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Christ saying, you know, I mean, I'm going to be Christ. So the things that Christ says and presents, I have to say and I have to present. So I have to do those in this purest form. However, we have some people who have added to the definition of Christ, which has nothing to do with Christ, and distorted what it means to be in Christ. He's not talking about that. So you better be sure in your representation of Christ that it's really Christ. Simply put, we need to be responsible for what comes out of our mouths. It says in Ephesians 4, 29, watch this. He starts off with, do not let. That means I have full control over and I'm fully responsible for. So I can't say I couldn't help it. I am fully responsible for it. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk. And what is an unwholesome talk? The Greek word for that stands for corrupt talk or stuff that is outside of God. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So anything that's not in line with God, I have no business talking about. I hear a lot of things that we feel very strong about that really touches our being and what we want, but it's outline of God. It really has nothing to do with God. So then why are we fighting for it? Why are we even talking about it, Christians? Well, it's my rights. It's what I want. It has nothing to do with anything. Why am I letting that come out? Or I'm saying things about other people of how I feel instead of what God says. He says, but only what is helpful for building others up, watch this, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The key is, I have to get to know others, not ridicule others, and build them up in how God made them. You get this? Not in what I think they should be. We've really distorted people, and this is why we struggle when somebody else gets offended by how we see it, because we want everybody to be based on us, not be based on God. He also shows in Ephesians 5, verse 4, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. See, what that means is the way we joke, and God doesn't mind joking, as the Bible talks about smiling and laughing and all that, but this type of joking usually can be seen as shock value or at others' expense. In other words, the only reason why people are amused or laughing at it is because, wow, I can't believe that person said that thing that's so offensive. Or I said something about some other group or some other person that made others laugh. So I singled somebody out to make others laugh. All of this is what Christians should have no business doing. In fact, using the joke option, you know how people say, well, I was just joking. Come on, lighten up. The Bible shows it, to harm our neighbors is very dangerous. See, when I do something to you and you're offended by it, but then I come back with, I was just joking, thinking that changes everything and they need to get lightened up. They need to take a joke. Look what it says here. It says in Proverbs 26, 18 through 19, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Did you catch that? And he said, look at the comparison here. He said, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows. Why is that so necessary? Because a madman, first of all, is just somebody who's out of control, somebody who's just crazy. And now he has this weapon or weapons, and now he's just shooting them out of his anger. That means it's going to hurt many people in many ways. He has no control he's allowing. He's saying it's the same thing as a person who does stuff and then comes back with I was just joking. And many do that. We want others to lighten up based on how we see it, instead of doing what God says and considering, wait a minute, could that have hurt others? We grew up in a world today which has given us structures, and a lot of them are extremely wrong, extremely offensive. And because we've gotten used to them, we don't want to change. Instead of us going, how the heck did we allow this to go on for so long? Christians should have never participated in it. And yes, Christians will have to answer to God. One thing God's not going to use is the excuses that we've been using. Well, it's the time. Well, we've gotten over it. Well, it's no big deal. I'm looking at the word and I can't find any of that. I'm seeing that we are responsible of how and if we offended others. You see, the body of Christ must function with equal concern for each part, not with selected concern for certain parts. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 26, so that there should be no division in the body. Did you catch that? The body is not just the church you go to. The body is the entire Christian church here on earth. He said there is to be no division, but that, watch this, its part should have, watch this, equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I remember during 2020, a lot of the riots and stuff that went through that was very disturbing is when certain groups would come by and they would say, I'm concerned as a Christian because of this. The church sometimes will come together and say, okay, let's talk about it. That's excellent. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. But I've seen in other cases when other groups would come across and say, hey, I'm offended by this, we would hear a, Yeah, get over it. It's no big deal. Wait, we just ignored what this said. We told a certain part of the body, get over it. This thing that I'm doing, I'm going to keep doing. Too bad if you're offended. Now, once again, if the thing that we were doing was fully based on God, you're right. Then we have to lovingly step back and go, I can't change. All right, we're going to talk about that some. But if what I'm doing is just based on me and my desired position, I'm going to have to answer to God. You see, Christians walking in wisdom will not be affected by offense. Okay? You don't got too many today walking by wisdom. Okay? But we can't expect others not to be affected. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. So a wise man recognizes what was said was offensive, but he goes with it. And the reason why I put this out there, because this is some of the defense that I'll hear Christians use. They'll tell the other person, you shouldn't be offended. Nope, that's not what we're supposed to use. That's for me to know in me. That's for me to know I need to grow in me, not for me to use as a weapon to you as I offend you. But the other thing you got to be careful of, and this is people who claim to be Christian, we got to be careful that those that claim to be Christian don't retaliate and attack when they are corrected. You see, they hate it. They're even going to hate this study because they're the ones who want to use these things. And there are many that are calling themselves Christians, but you can tell. Remember, our actions show what we really are. You tell them by their fruit. Watch their response when they're corrected. Proverbs 9, 7 through 8 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. The minute you correct them, they'll give you the look at you, and what about you? And I don't care about you. And you see them immediately get an attitude. And that's the person who calls himself a Christian, but are they a Christian? He says, whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Many times. If I had to say to somebody, well, you do know you're wrong on this, and then you see the anger, you see the frustration, you see the response, it lets you step back and go, okay, what am I dealing with? He says in verse 8, do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. True Christians are always listening for what the word says on any topic. How many do we have out there that are really doing? You get this. You see, Christians have to understand if the things I'm allowed to say and do harm someone and I keep doing it, that freedom becomes a sin. He makes that extremely clear to us. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 through 13, he says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom, so that means me doing stuff that I'm allowed to do. As Christians, we recognize, okay, I'm allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do that. But he says, watch this, does not become a stumbling block to the weak. What ended up happening with us as Christians, we allowed our flesh to get so comfortable in our freedoms, we turned our freedoms into rights. And then we became offended at you being offended at my freedom. Did y'all catch that? We became offended, so it became about us, not about others. He says, do not let that freedom be a stumbling block to others. And he makes clear, and he uses an example here in verse 10. He says, for if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who has this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? In other words, him and you doing it the right way in knowledge, won't somebody in ignorance do it in the wrong way? And without me explaining, just from me doing it. This even goes with drinking. The Bible doesn't say not to drink, but you'll get Christians that'll just drink casually. And you'll get some younger ones going, hey, I've seen minister or Christian so-and-such drinking. So they'll go out and they'll get drunk. You get where I said. They're getting drunk. Wrong. So you have a young Christian or whatever seeing a mature Christian, and in their freedom, you just cause them to stumble. That's why he says in verse 11, so this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. We let our rights and our freedoms get in the way of what God says, our main ministry and our love for one another. He says in verse 12, when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. We are so built up in our rights and what we should be able to do and what we want to do, we don't take into account how I could be harming others. This is why he ends with this statement in verse 13. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Do y'all catch that? My freedom is not the thing that goes first. My rights are not what go first. It's how I'm affecting others. That's why we're still here, to minister to others, to glorify God. That's why in Romans 14, 15 through 16, he says, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. So my action, this thing that I am doing, is causing a problem with you, and I keep doing it because it's what I want to do. I should be able to do it. Just because you don't know about it isn't my problem. That's not how we're supposed to act. He says, do not by your eating destroy your brother from whom Christ died. He says in verse 16, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. It means I'm going to do all I can to explain what I'm doing, and if they still don't get it, I don't do it. Do you get this? There's certain movies I like to watch just out of entertainment, and you may have others that may struggle with it. So because of that, I won't watch it. It's just plain and simple. Now, you'll get some that'll say, hey, can explain it to me, and I can show them. I can show them in God's word why it's probably not a problem. But you'll get others go, no, I struggle with it this way, and you go, got it. No discussion. Move on. You see where I'm going with this? See, we struggle with this because we allow the what I want and how I see it to block me considering others. And that's sin. And yes, we're going to have to answer to God for that. Now, I want to make something very clear here. We cannot mistake not offending with winning man's approval. Now, this is huge, so you got to get this. In Galatians 1, verse 10, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, here's the deal in that. Because even though political correctness is a man-made term, but it's a man-made term based on man. So this not only includes some things that are correct, it also includes things that are against God. Everything a Christian does better be based on God. So in other words, if what I do, like I said earlier, is based on Christ and it offends you, there's nothing I can do. So when I see a Christian doing something that's wrong and I tell them to stop and I offend them, that's what I'm supposed to do. In other words, when a Christian is in a sin, we must work on restoring them, not accepting them in their sin. It says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. See, I've seen some Christians that watch somebody go through a struggle, and we almost coddle them or comfort them in that struggle. We help them to endure and stay in that struggle and not restore them out of it. We are never to support evil. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Do you get this? What does that mean? So you have two groups out there. And I'm going to use two examples here that are very prevalent today. So when somebody is getting into an interracial marriage, it's two races getting together and they want to get married. Not only is God not against that, not only does God not have a problem with that, there's nothing wrong with that as long as they're doing it within the boundaries of God. That's great. We should be supporting that. However, I've heard Christians were offended by this. And I've heard people adjust because of those Christians who are offended by this. And now we're supporting racism and hate, which is totally against God. Read 1 John. If you hate your brother, you cannot love God. Now, you got those people that have this struggle with race right now, and they better get it straight. Better straighten that up, or you're going to end up in hell. I don't care what structure, what stories you heard, what feelings you have, better get rid of that. You better fix that, because that type of offense is your problem. However, we have another community, That's the homosexual LGBTQ community, in which they want us to, hey, when I feel like a woman, when they're really a man, call me this. They want you to treat women this, and they want to treat the men and all this other stuff. They want us to go with that. Now, in no way are we supposed to be mean, but I can't do that because the Bible shows that is evil. I don't do it ignorantly, and I don't do it mean, but I don't participate. If two of the same sex are married, I can't treat them as a married couple. Now, by law, there are certain things you do in the world in which you just kind of let it go and you deal with it. But I don't endorse that couple as I would a true married couple. Once again, it's all based on God. So that political correctness does not fall into me because I have to support Christ. Make sure it's based on God's word, not somebody's version of God's word. That's why I have. However, it's very important with how we confront those living in evil. It's not that we just do, because you get those that are very easy to be indignant towards them, downright rude, to have an attitude of that as if they're upset with them. But it shows in 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26, he says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, okay? Because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. So these arguments and these debates we have, Christians should not be participating in them at all. Okay? We shouldn't be participating in them at all. He says the Lord's servants must not quarrel. But watch this. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. That includes all people. The kindness doesn't mean acceptance when they're wrong, but I still got to deal with it kindly. Please know what true kindly is. I'll see some of the most rude people. They'll tell you they love you in the most rudest way. And they're not even showing love based on God's word. I don't know what they're doing. So they better stop fooling themselves. They're going to have to answer to God. But we have to be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. What that means is they're going to do something that you don't like. And I don't go after them because I don't like it. I deal with them based on because of what God says about it. If they're a Christian, I'm looking to restore them. If they're a non-Christian, I'm looking to minister to them. That's it. Not how I feel about it. That's why he says in verse 25, watch this. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. So we get those that point it out, just call them these names and really knock them down. And it's disturbing to say the least. Because our job is not to shoot them down, to be vindicated in our war of how we feel. It's for us to restore them. It's for us to get them to Christ. That's why it says, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth. I could care less how they feel about me. I want them to see God and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That's our job. Not to get everybody to where I think they should be, but for me to be used as an instrument to help others to get to come to God. Political correctness in the Lord is necessary. It's just not some side topic that we just talk about or we just ignore. No, this is a must. I challenge anybody to show me the other side of that, the get over it side, the everybody should lighten up side, and what's the big deal side. Show me that. Because I just showed you scripture to really show that I have to take these things into consideration. It shows how corrupt our world is, because a lot of things that we have accepted, a lot of history that we have, is extremely offensive. I grew up because I had a lot of people who would use a lot of these offensive to try to pull me out of Christianity. If my Christianity wasn't strong and I've seen this happen, there was a lot of men and a lot of people right now who are not Christians because of the offenses that those who call themselves Christians have been using. Better make sure that's not you. So when it comes down to it, to know the difference between offending and enabling in sin, we must test. When he says, simply put, in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22, he says, test everything. Just like when we had that discussion, and the minute I said stewardess and my wife cleared it up, I could have stuck with how I felt, what's the big deal, or I took it and I tested it. That means I go to God's word and say, okay, how does this fly? And immediately his word's like, oh yeah, that was offensive. Stop saying. Not, What's the big deal? Get over it. I test it and I hold on to the good, in other words, what the Bible says, and I avoid every kind of evil, anything it tells me not to do or when it goes against what it says. Christians, there's a disturbing time, which the Bible tells us about in 2 Timothy, where it tells us terrible times, where people are so self-centered, we've made it more about us, that we're pushing more away, believe it or not, than bringing more in. We're creating some concepts to make them like certain groups or like certain people and then calling them Christian, instead of us displaying God and having them come to God and what he created in the way that he said so. Let's check ourselves. Are we saying and doing things that are offensive? And how are we dealing with it? We need to be godly, politically correct. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, coming to you, dear God, seeking your guidance and your wisdom in all things, dear Lord, we thank you so much for just being so patient with us. And we just ask you to give us the things in our lives. Help us to search ourselves, to realize when we have been or are being offensive. And let us adjust accordingly. Let us take your word, dear God, and react in such a way that we can bless others and not be a stumbling block to others. Let us get how we see it and how we feel out the way, so not to hinder people in their walk. We can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for the love you continue to show us. But help us, dear Lord, to walk and do the things we need to in order to honor you at all times using your word, being led by your spirit and nothing else. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.